Oppo, featuring Superfook, lightning quick smartphone charging tech.
This is Phoenix Nation on SENZ.
This is SENZ Phoenix Nation, brought to you by Oppo. On the schedule today, well, we are going to catch up with a member of the Oppo, the coach, in fact, of Western United, the team that the Phoenix play this weekend. So Mark Torcaso is going to be on the show with us around 3:30. Giancarlo Italiano from the Phoenix men's team as well, the assistant coach, is going to join us. We'll have a catch up to see what they're doing while the World Cup's on and get some World Cup tips from him as well. There is also a Phoenix fan challenge with Oppo to come as well, and your chance to win some great Oppo gear. But we're going to start the show with one of the stars of the Wellington Phoenix women's team, Betsy Hassett. How you doing, Betsy?
Hey, good, thank you.
That's a story, mate. How was your first taste of A-League football?
Oh, it was amazing. It was so awesome to have such a big crowd supporting us, and so cool to play the first professional women's game in New Zealand. So it was amazing.
Yeah, part of history, hey? That must feel really special. I mean, you've achieved so much in your career, been to three Women's World Cups, been to Olympic Games. Where does it rate for you?
It's really special. I've always wanted to play professionally in New Zealand, so now I finally get the chance, I can come back home for a while and enjoy living in New Zealand and playing and getting to know all the younger girls coming up. So I'm really enjoying it, and I'm so grateful to have this opportunity. It's so great for women's sport in New Zealand, and yeah, I'm just looking forward to the season.
Yeah. I mean, the season, you know, didn't get the result that you wanted, but I mean, the performance to 60 minutes was very, very good, wasn't it? What do you think was behind the final score? I mean, they really sort of got on top in that last half hour.
Yeah, we did really well as a team, and we just kind of got the focus in the second half, which cost us the game, obviously. So like we did in the first half, and hopefully get a win this weekend.
So what's the work on been this week ahead of Western United?
We're just doing a lot of practicing, trying to nullify their strengths and focus on keeping the ball and being a bit more patient in the attacking third. We kind of know that they're going to be playing a bit more direct, so we've had a couple of boys come in from the academy to help us out to reenact how they'll be playing so we can beat them in the weekend.
Yeah, well, that'll be great. I mean, they got off to a great start, of course, beating Melbourne Victory in their first ever game. What did you make of their performance, given that that's a brand new team?
Oh yeah, it was a great start for them. They're a new team in the league, so we're not really sure what to expect. But they've shown that they are a good team, so we have to come out strong. And obviously, we'll go for the win, of course. But I think they're going to be quite a tough team, so we have to be up for it.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, the youth in your team, you got lots of legs. You mentioned focus being an issue. Do you put that down to just a bit of inexperience and learning the game at this level?
Yeah, there's quite a heaps of young ones coming through, which is great. Really great players, and I think it's really, really awesome for New Zealand to be having a team so they have the opportunity to play here before moving on, if you feel like it. But I think it's going to be a great season for this team, and being an older one, it's super cool to play with these young girls, and I think it'll be cool for them to play with some older girls. So,
given that you've been, you know, through the age groups with New Zealand, I think you made your debut for the Ferns in around 2011. I'm trying to remember. I think that's right. What have you noticed about the players, young players coming in now versus the young players coming in maybe when you started?
There's a lot of young girls coming in now that are really good and have a lot of potential. I feel like I'm an oldie. I am an oldie on the team now. It's a complete environment. It's cool to see all these young girls coming through. And I think in this, having this team, the Phoenix here is just more coming through.
And how much are you seeing you know, the other teams like the Rizzies and the men's senior team around the place, and how much sort of interaction is there? I mean, does Ufuk come and stand next to Natalie at a training session and have a few words, or is there any of that sort of thing going on?
We see them around all the time. They usually track them for the gym in the morning, so in the gym, same timings. And we see them around all the time. So, and they actually came. We go to each other's games, so that's really cool. We're just supporting each other, and it's great to have some interactions with each other and learn from each other. So it's cool.
Yeah, that is cool. How's everybody tracking? I know Emma Ralston had to miss the first game. I think she's probably going to miss this weekend as well. And I know Paige has been managing an injury. How's everybody looking ahead of this weekend?
Oh, pretty good. Rolo's still out for this week. She'll be back. Hopefully she'll be back for the next game. But luckily, yeah, Kate and Nat were struggling with a couple of injuries from the firm. They're good now, so that's positive. And, Paige is doing all right as well. So we're looking good coming into this match this weekend, and we're just... Hopefully we can stay injury free.
Yeah, hopefully, and get some points on the board as well, eh?
Sorry.
And get some points on the board as well, eh?
Yes, get some points. That would be great. Yeah, it'll be good to get 3 points this weekend.
Yeah, how have you found the level of the A League after? I know it's only one game, but versus where you've been playing in Europe.
Well, you know what? I thought that the first game, I thought that would be a little bit better, to be honest. And so I was quite surprised about the level in the first game. But there's a lot more games to come, so we'll see how the rest of the season goes. But, I mean, it's pretty similar to what I've been playing in Iceland. I've been playing there for the last 5 years, so it's pretty similar level to that. But I think the leagues like England and Sweden, probably a little bit higher level, but yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting to compare and get a gauge on where we are on that front, particularly to see how everything is tracking. How was your time away with the Football Ferns in Christchurch for those two games against the Koreans, and how do you think you're tracking ahead of the World Cup?
I think we second game, it was unlucky there for us. I think we could have got a win out of it, but at least we did some improvements from the first game, and we're just looking forward to having more games in New Zealand over the next few months. I think that'll be important for us to get a lot of support from New Zealand around us, and looking forward to getting some wins under our belt.
Yeah, that'll be good. Scoring some goals, getting some wins. But the thing certainly caused the Koreans a few problems going forward, which was good to see, mate. Just need to bury a few more.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, just before I let you go, what have you made of the Football World Cup so far?
Oh, it's so exciting. I'm getting up early in the morning to watch the games and staying up quite late at night. So, I'm really enjoying it so far, especially the Argentina-Saudi Arabia game the other day. That was awesome, such a crazy game. I'll be watching.
Yeah, crazy result, all right, mate, crazy result. And we get to see Brazil tomorrow morning up against Serbia. They're my favourites for it. What do you reckon?
Oh, nice. Yeah. I love Brazil as well, actually. I support them as a little kid. I used to wear all the shirts running around as a little kid, so I'll definitely be going for them.
Cool. All right. Hey, Betsy, thanks very much. I know you've got a training to get to. I really appreciate your time, mate. Go well, and good luck this weekend against Western United.
Cool. Thanks so much. Thanks for your time.
Oppo, featuring Supervook, lightning quick smartphone charging tech. This is Phoenix Nation on SENZ.
This is SENZ. It is Phoenix Nation with Ricardo, and joining us now for our Oppo chat with the Oppo is the coach of the Western United team out of Melbourne, Mark Torcaso. G'day, Mark. How are you?
Good, mate. How are you? Nice to be on.
Yeah, mate. Great to have you. And you must be fizzing. I mean, you know, this has been a long time coming for Western United to have a women's team in the A-League, and you get your first game out of the way, and it's a victory over the storied victory.
yeah, it was amazing, to be quite honest. It was just a fantastic opportunity to be part of an inaugural game, obviously, for our club. And it was obviously sweeter to get the result and get 3 points against the reigning premiers. But yeah, the moment was fantastic for our club, our players. And yeah, obviously 3 points against Victory, you would always take any time.
Yeah, and it's a team that you've worked with before, obviously. You had a bit of inside knowledge, having been the goalkeeping coach there for a couple of seasons.
Yeah, it was a while back, but yeah, I mean, there's a lot of players that play at Victory that play in our National Premier League here that I know or have played against or I've actually coached. So a little bit of knowledge there, but also our backroom staff did an amazing ton of work in the week leading up to make sure that we were prepared to get the results we wanted. And yeah, it all worked out in the end.
It did. Now, I mean, this looks like, you know, it's your first game in the A-League Women's, but it looks like something that Western United was always looking at, because the relationship with Calding United and the old VPL or the NPL as it is now, you know, was established a couple of years ago. Did that help you when it came to building a squad for a first season?
Yeah, definitely. Having a relationship with Calding, was the head coach there since their inception as well, so it was amazing to have that leading and be able to carry on a few players that were in that environment into the A-League environment. And they were players that probably did deserve opportunity with other A-League clubs over the last few years, but obviously, you know, just didn't get them for whatever reason. So it was excellent to be able to put some of them through an A-League process and see how they sort of match up. And so far, they've been excellent. The only challenges they've had is just adjusting to the full-time life of a football and training every day. But other than that, they've adjusted really well. So that partnership is extremely strong and exciting for the future for Western.
How many players from Calder and United managed to, in the end, transition into your squad for this season?
We had 10 players that moved forward from Calder, but then we have a number of players, about 5 to 7 players that are our train-on players that come in. They sort of top up the group, not contracted, but they just come in and train with us. So, you know, all up, we'd probably say 15 to 16 players have transitioned from an NPL setup to an A-League setup to some extent, which is, like I said, it's, you know, these girls probably have deserved opportunities in the past, but either just missed out or, you know, just fell out of favour for whatever reason. But it's an amazing opportunity for these girls and for even myself and the club to be able to give that to them now.
Well, exactly. Putting them in this environment is only going to make them better players. And training alongside the likes of, you know, you've got Matildas in the squad, obviously, like Chloe Lugarzo as well. So, I mean, training against someone, you know, with someone like her week in, week out, it's going to lift the level of those players, you'd think, as well.
Yeah, and that's the thing. The exciting part of it all is seeing them the way that was the challenge initially that I thought was that, you know, they'd struggle, but the way that they have all adjusted to being a professional training for the best players that, you know, in our country has been something I've been, to be quite honest, totally blown away by. You know, you've got a US national team player that's won a World Cup here in our environment as well, that, you know, she's quite, you know, stood back and taken back and blown away by the talent. So yeah, they've adjusted really well, but learning off the best players is a small part of, you know, why we do this, to give them every opportunity to be the best they can.
This has been a long time coming for you. You know, we talk about the player's journey, but your journey as a coach, you know, you've been I know you started in futsal, and then, you know, you were taking the under-16s at Whittlesea, and you've moved your way through. I mean, why, I guess there's something that always intrigues me, is why women's football as opposed to men's football? I mean, I know you played the game to a professional level, but what was the attraction?
I sort of got caught up in it when I was at school, working at a school, running a football program, and I gained an interest in coaching females. I just felt like that they listened more. They were like sponges. They didn't sort of challenge you as a coach in regards to thinking that they know more or better. And I just think that the relationship that I was able to build with females in football was just, I don't know, just so much better. Like, they could listen, they could understand it. And then I literally worked myself through that process over the years, and then ended up here. And it's, to be quite honest, I wake up and pinch myself sometimes and go, my God, you know, we are, I'm here, and I've been able to work through that.
Yes.
But it's been really, really exciting, to be quite honest.
Yeah, fantastic, mate. I mean, you know, the futsal obviously gives you a sort of a ground in coaching, you know, sort of close-touch football as well, but you are a former goalkeeper yourself in a professional environment. How much does that do you think that gives you maybe an edge or gives you a different outlook on the game, given that as a goalkeeper, obviously, you can see the whole game in front of you?
Yeah, I often reflect on that and my coaching. Like my philosophy as a coach, and it always goes back to when I was a goalkeeper, and obviously being a goalkeeper, you never want to concede goals because you don't want to look bad. But I always had that sort of mentality that you don't want to concede. So in my coaching, I'm very much the same way. I want to be a good defensive side that can score and be entertaining as well. So definitely being a goalkeeper and being around, you know, professional setups in the UK and stuff have definitely helped in the way I sort of playing my side now, but then the education as a coach, you know, through the Football Federation Australia and stuff has also contributed to, you know, obviously being a great tool to learn. So yeah, definitely being a goalkeeper, but obviously the small parts of the processes of coaching has also been very important for me.
You had that experience over in the UK primarily. I know you trialled at Charleroi, but you know, you were signed by Crawley Town and you played at Kingstonian and Tooting and Mitcham and a few of those pro sort of semi-pro sides. I mean, that can be pretty ruthless over there in terms of coaching jobs and playing jobs. What did that teach you that you've been able to bring into your coaching?
I definitely was. It was a big challenge, but that's also where I started a little bit of my coaching. I was able to play at that environment, but also they put me through some coaching stuff, which was where I guess started as a 21, 22-year-old. But it just teaches you that little bit of resilience, you know, mindset, competitive mentality, all those type of things, because it's just a totally different game in Europe, the way they sort of develop and produce players. So that there's no doubt that environment for me was something that was, you know, has contributed to the way I coach, the way I play. But I'm forever grateful for that. And I constantly say to people that, you know, you can go to uni, you can get an education, you can get a degree, you can get all those type of things, but life experiences in regards to that and, you know, living football, coaching football in Europe, it was something definitely that I can say that has had a big contribution into me currently being the Western coach.
Western is a young club. You know, it's only been around for, what, 3 or 4 years as an entity. And I think you'd have to say that the club would think they're ahead of the curve in terms of the success they had winning the men's league last year under John Aloisi. Does that put more expectation on you? Look, the men took 2 seasons to win it. How long is it going to take you?
I know that the club is extremely ambitious and they want to be, you know, successful. Obviously, you know, winning in your second or third year as your A-League and club is something that, you know, does go unnoticed and how big that was. But there's no real big expectations from us to win or anything like that. It's just more about setting the foundations, creating a place where players want to come, you know, over the next few years, setting an example and really lifting the bar when it comes to women's football. That's I guess what we measure the results on, is making sure that we set that tone straight away. I often say that if you do all those things anyway, sort of results come, and they work through, it works through its process anyway. So if you get all those little basic fundamentals right, most other things fall in place.
Nice, nice. All right, Mark. Hey, before I let you go, I've got to ask you a couple of World Cup questions, if you don't mind.
All right.
All right, mate. One of the things that I noticed, particularly in Australian media and on social media amongst Socceroos fans, was the outrage that Mitch Langerak got left out despite coming out of retirement. I looked at some of the stats in the J-League. I think he had more clean sheets in the last season than the three blokes that made the squad combined. What was your reaction to that when that got announced?
I've been a goalkeeper, mate. It's always the most contentious position when you pick, I think, any squad. Let alone a World Cup squad. So, I don't really look into too much of the men's game when it comes to that. But what I understand, he was definitely a little bit stiff in being put in that scenario. So, Yeah, I mean, it is what it is, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Yeah. Feel for Mitch. Hopefully you can get a look in under whoever takes over from Arnie after this World Cup, mate. And finally, who do you like? Who's your team?
My team's not there. I'm Italian, so yeah. I don't like any team. I'm probably going to jump on the Australian bandwagon and push them along if we can. But I've got probably my sights would be set on Netherlands. I think they might come out of nowhere and finally do something after all these years of hope. They might be the dark horse, I reckon, because they're going quietly at the moment. No one's sort of saying much. So, yeah, if I was a betting man, I would be putting it on that.
Get on the Dutch. You heard it here first. Hey, Mark, listen, mate, safe travels to you and the team. I hope you enjoy your trip to Wellington, but not too much, being a Phoenix fan. But go well and good luck for the season too, eh?
Excellent. Thanks very much, mate.
Yeah, there you go, Mark Tocasso from Western United there, giving us his thoughts on their matchup with the Phoenix this Sunday. It's a 3 o'clock kickoff, and he tipped the Dutch there too, so that got me thinking, what's the market look like at the TAB at the World Cup? So here's the outright betting now that we've had nearly a full round. Brazil are at $4. So I think they've come out a little bit. I think they were about 350, 360. France are at sevens, England at 750, Spain eights. Argentina have drifted. They were second favourites. They're now paying $9.50. And you can get the Dutch at $13. The Germans, if you think they can bounce back after they lost to Japan, they're paying 23s. Also in there, Portugal at 14s, Belgium at 17s. And then you have to go all the way out to Uruguay at 34s, who play South Korea in the morning. There you go. Still, I can't believe Croatia out at $71. They were the finalists last year, but the last time round. But there you go. Just about time for news and sport then. Giancarlo Italiano from the Wellington Phoenix joins us. This is Phoenix Nation here on SENZ. Ricardo Ball with you through till 4 o'clock, and still to come, the Oppo Phoenix Fan Challenge. But before we do that, let's catch up with Giancarlo Italiano from the Wellington Phoenix, the assistant coach. G'day, Giancarlo. How are you?
Ricardo, very well. Thank you very much for having me on.
Man, my pleasure. Thanks for doing it. I know they call you Chief. What do you prefer?
Chief is fine.
Your
colours, yeah. Your colours fine as well.
Okay,
yeah.
Good stuff, mate. Now, yeah. I wanted to talk about a World Cup with you, but before we do that, mate, how's the first week been of this kind of weird break that you guys have had in the middle of your season?
I think it's maybe good for a refresh for the squad to go back to. Maybe some issues that we need to address from the first six games. But in terms of continuity, it's probably a break that you wouldn't want in the middle of the season. It's probably allowed some other teams in the A-League a bit of a catch-up, and some teams with momentum has probably slowed them down.
Yeah, it's a bit of a funny one. I thought going into that Western United game, you know, after we'd had the big win previous, I thought, oh, and we're 2-0 up in that, and then obviously cost to miss the pen. I was like, oh, man, this break's coming at a real wrong time for the Knicks, just as we get a bit of a roll on. But then that comeback happened, and I was like, well, maybe not. I mean, what have the work-ons been post that?
We've been addressing a lot of defensive principles, as well as touching up on the attacking side. I think one of the performance was more an anomaly than something that's been occurring week in, week out. I think you're right. The game against MacArthur, I thought we were very good. And for about 65 minutes against West United, we were pretty much the dominant team. And, you know, unfortunately, you've seen in this World Cup as well, momentum's an unbelievable element. And once teams get some sort of momentum behind them, they're very hard to beat.
Yeah, I mean, that is the thing. If you get a roll on, you get the confidence up, particularly in a short period of time, like you say, World Cup finals, you know, where it's seven games, it can make all the difference.
Yeah, definitely. And look, I think the signs are very promising from the first six games that we've had. And I think MacArthur was pretty much a sign where if we can do everything right for the 90 minutes, we'll be very hard to beat. But I think if you compare it to the three seasons that we've had beforehand, it's still one of the better starts that we've had over those four seasons. So hopefully if things keep progressing the way they do, we can mirror what we've done in the last three seasons.
Yeah, fingers crossed, mate, fingers crossed. Well, hopefully when we get back on the field, that's what we see. Let's talk some World Cup then, mate. I'm picking with a name like Giancarlo Italiano. You don't have a team in this year's World Cup.
A bit of a controversial subject, but my father Italian, my mother Peruvian. I was born in Australia, and now I am almost a full resident of New Zealand. So I've got four teams. One out of four is not bad. So I've got the Aussie flag on this month.
Yeah, I was going to say you support more countries than UNICEF, mate. You're going well.
It's tough having that many allegiances.
I know what you mean, mate. My mum's family are Italian, but where they're from is now part of Croatia. So, you know, and her maiden name was Vukic. So, you know, you go one or the other. You go one or the other, and then the old man's family's Irish, and I'm born and bred here. So, you know, it's one of those. You've got plenty of options, mate, plenty of options. I mean, who are you liking at this World Cup now, given that the Italians aren't there?
Well, my big tip was Spain pre-tournament, and my two dark horses were Japan and Morocco. For me, I've followed Japan through the AFC qualifying for many years now, also following the Aussies. And Morocco, for me, the last World Cup underperformed with big expectations. I still stick to those three. I also like Argentina, but unfortunately, I think Argentina a plague with the expectancy and the pressure of actually winning the World Cup, and Messi becomes more of a bigger topic than the actual national team and whether he can win it and whether he can emulate Maradona. So I think there's too much noise there still with Argentina, and I don't think the first game helped them with that pressure. But I like Spain. I think if you watch this morning's game against Costa Rica, I know Costa Rica probably gave them the second half, but the first half of Spain were unbelievable. And I still think they have a nice balance of old and younger players coming through. And I think they were very unlucky in the Euros. They lost to Italy on penalties. They should have probably made the final. And I think they probably would have been in England as well. So I think if you match up the leading to these tournaments, in qualifying, they were great as well. They're going to be very hard to beat.
Yeah, they will be. They look really hard to break down, and they look very. I mean, you got to break them down. You got to have the ball, and you know, as we saw today, I think Costa Rica had 18% of possession, which is it's not easy to do much with that, mate. The Argies is an interesting one because I really like them going into the World Cup as well. They still now, of course, have to play Mexico and Poland, which on paper you would have said are more difficult games than Saudi Arabia, but they can still get through. And if they do get through now, you'd expect them to be on the other side of the draw, because the way things were looking, if things went the way you expected them to, that Argentina and Brazil would meet in the semi-final, but now they go to the other side of the draw. So part of me kind of hopes they go on a run now and we end up with a Brazil-Argentina final.
Yeah, my expectation before the tournament really centered around the fact that this World Cup is unusual in terms of teams' preparation time and the neutrality of Qatar. Traditionally, World Cup teams are often given an advantage on the continent they play. So whenever the tournament's been in America or South America, the South American teams have an advantage. There's only been one team outside of South America, Germany, when they won the World Cup in Brazil, and Brazil likewise when they won in Sweden a long, long time ago, but it always goes to a European nation. The last time it was played on a neutral event, 2002, Japan-Korea, there were a lot of shocks. So I kind of think that this is what's going to happen in this World Cup. Added with that preparation time, I think what you'll find is that you'll have a lot of so-called favourites finish second, mix it with the other half that will finish first, and you'll have one really strong side of the draw, and then the other side will be littered with teams that no one expects, maybe a Japan, a Morocco, you know, you could find a Mexico come out of nowhere, even a Poland at this stage. And I think that really makes it exciting because it keeps the intrigue in the tournament. I think these second matches in the group stage are going to present more shocks as well.
Yeah, I think that's a really good call. I'm looking forward to this as it rolls out. I mean, I've got to say, Chiefy, I put my hand up. I backed Japan at $7 to beat Germany. And before the tournament, I kind of said to a few people that I didn't think the Germans would get out of the group. They just don't seem to have any firepower, and particularly with Timo Werner injured and Kai Havertz not really a number nine. It's hard to see where the goals come from.
I think Japan, for me, Japan, for the last 25 years, have been putting the roadworks down to create footballers that can compete on a consistent, not just a one-off. And for me, it was watching that game, as much as Germany dominated that first half, you kind of felt if Japan get a goal in the second half and Germany don't defend well, the game's going to open up, and almost went to tea. And the quality throughout the Japanese team is fantastic. I mean, I'm a Sampdoria fan, so we had Yoshida a couple of years ago at Sampdoria. He was great. But Maeda, Kuba, Kama, these are all players that are world-class or close to world-class players. And it's really a testament to the Japanese FA, the way they've designed and their development and where they're looking to the future. So that's why I think Japan have actually got a great chance to go really, really deep in this tournament.
Yeah, I agree. I think they could be a dark horse, mate. I also do rate the Croatians. I mean, I think this is a better Croatian squad than we saw in 2018, and they made the finals there. Probably the one thing they don't have is a Mandzukic. I mean, what do you make of the way that team is put together?
Yeah, I agree. I think their big issue is goals. I don't think they have enough goals to get them through to a later stage or plays that can get them into the quarters or semis. I still think they'll be very good on the back of the World Cup final 4 years ago, but I think that was the team that was primed for a big tournament. The Croatia are very hard to beat. I just think they needed to beat Morocco this morning in order to get the leg up to qualify first. It'd be a challenge for them to get that second spot.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, that was a game I expected them, you know, to probably do a 1-0 win or something along those lines to get through. I had them topping the group over Belgium, but we'll have to see how that all plays out now. What about Brazil? I mean, I'm loathe to pick Brazil when people say, who do you like? Who do you like? It annoys me when people always talk about Brazil at World Cups, because often they just see the name and they don't really look at the team. But this time, I think this is the best balanced Brazilian team that we've seen since maybe 2006. I expect them to go all the way.
Yeah, well, I agree. And the fantastic insight for the viewers, if they have Amazon Prime, the Brazil Selección, it's the documentary of the Copa America when they played Peru in the final, and it went through their whole preparation going into that tournament. And Tite, the way he is as a coach, he's a very, very big on motivation, keeping the unity of the group and not having players bigger than the actual team. And it gave great insight, but it also showed they are also in the same boat as Argentina in terms of the expectation of the public, the expectation of the world. And for me, when I look at Brazil, I think the big issue is not the quality on the park. It's the quality they have off the park and how Tite uses the bench. So he's got, for me, too many strikers in a team, such as Martinelli, Gabriel Jesus. He's got Alisson and Edison in goals. Like, these are all unbelievably world-class players. And how you manage that and their expectation and how you match up against opponents, for me, that's going to be the real key. And I think if he does that well and he keeps them in check, I think they win the tournament easily. But this also is a little bit like 1990. I know I'm going a little bit back here, but Italia 90, Brazil had unbelievable qualifying. They go into the tournament. They had all the players. Dunga's the captain. And then they go into a second round against a depleted Argentina. Maradona on one foot gets an assist, and Caniggia wins them the game with 1-0. So it's not a clear cut. I think where they just romp over teams. I think there's a lot of obstacles, and I actually think they're not going to win the tournament for that reason.
Yeah, good stuff. All right, Chiefy, just before we let you go, mate, Mitch Langerak has been done a dirty by Graham Arnold.
I wouldn't say done the dirty. I think I mean, I don't like to comment much on the Australian players.
Mm.
I think in terms of calibre, I think, you know, Redders and Vukovic are good keepers and they were involved for the whole qualifying series. I think the issue you have is, you know, Ryan not starting at Copenhagen for the reason of going over there. But, you know, Matty's been the keeper there for the Australian team for quite a number of years and he's done very well. Either way. You know, there are a lot of players that missed out on the squad that you could make the argument for. And it's just, unfortunately, you know, it used to be 23 spots, now it's 26. But someone's got to miss out and you can make a case for any of those players.
Yeah, good stuff, mate. All right. Hey, Giancarlo, thank you very much for your time, mate. Go well. And we'll catch up with you again soon, eh?
Appreciate your time.
Cheers. Giancarlo Italiano, the assistant coach of the Wellington Phoenix men's team, talking World Cup with us. It is 14 away from 4.
Oppo, featuring Supervook, lightning quick smartphone charging tech.
This is Phoenix Nation on SENZ.
We're 9 away from 4, and it is time for the Oppo Phoenix Fan Challenge. We have a pair of Enco W11 earbuds to give away, and Stephen joins us. How you doing, mate?
All good, Ricardo. How are you, mate?
Yeah, good, thanks, mate. Good. Are you ready for the Phoenix Oppo Fan Challenge? 5 questions, you get 3 right, you win a set of those W11s?
Yeah, mate, that sounds good. Absolutely. Let's give it a crack.
All right, mate. Which country did Paul Eiffel represent internationally?
Trinidad and Tobago.
Saved by Rennie. Advantage, Phoenix.
Oh, Barbados. You're in the right part of the world. Right part of the world, mate, but not quite. all right, here's question number 2. Former Phoenix striker Shane Smelt scored 1 World Cup finals goal. Who was that against?
Ooh, that was against Kuwait.
Saved by Rennie. Advantage, Phoenix.
This was the 2010 World Cup, not the 1982 one, Stephen. It was Italy. It was Italy. All right. So you got 3 left. You got to go through it, 3 and out from here. Here's the 3rd one. Inaugural Phoenix women's coach Gemma Lewis left the club to go and work at which country's FA?
England.
Have you heard of a place called Wales?
You've got to be joking.
I'm not joking. I'm not joking, mate. So 0-3. So it's a strikeout, unfortunately. How do you think your boys are going to go, though, at the World Cup? A draw first up against the US?
Yeah, so I think the English game's going to be the toughest one, obviously, and possibly a draw might be enough for us if we can pull a win out of the bag the next game.
Yeah, so beat Iran and you're just about through,
Iran,
you think?
I think it is, yeah.
Yeah.
I hope so.
I mean, what did you make of the way that the team set up? Because I was quite surprised that Kiefer Moore didn't play in that first game, or didn't start, I should say.
Yeah, and as I think Rob Page, the coach, was saying afterwards, he got the setup wrong, I think. And possibly there was a bit of nerves as well, you know.
Yeah.
Not being there for 64 years, the boys were bit overawed by it all, possibly.
Yeah, you might be right. Oh, well, hey, listen, mate, sorry we couldn't give you some headphones, but enjoy the rest of the World Cup, eh? And, yeah, enjoy the Phoenix women against Western United on Sunday at 3 as well.
You too, mate. Thanks a lot.
Cheers. Go well. There we go, Stephen. Unfortunately, missing out. We do have we've had a couple of strikeouts. I think we've had 3 in a row where we haven't given away the headphones. So more to give away next week. It is 6 away from 4.
Oppo, featuring Supervook, lightning quick smartphone charging tech.
This is Phoenix Nation on SENZ.
Yeah, coming up to 4 o'clock, nearly ready for the run home to take over. A couple of texts that have come through during the show, though, from Jason. Ricardo, if Argentina win their final 2 games, they still finish top, unless, of course, Saudi Arabia keep winning. Also, this one from Chris. I think Argentina will still top the group if they win both of their games, unless the Saudis win all of their games. It's going to be hard for Argentina to qualify with 4 points. So I think you're right there. And from Ken, I don't see a European team winning in Qatar. I'm no expert, but I'm backing Brazil or Argentina, possibly even Uruguay. It's been a great watch so far. That's from Ken. Thanks very much for your texts. Keep them coming through for the run home as well. I know they've got a full show for you, and including, I believe, King Carlos may be on the show as well. This has been Phoenix Nation. Thanks to Oppo.